It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Halloween 2024, 7/13. Tommy Tucker, highs in the mid-80s today and all the way into the foreseeable future, so it's not going to feel like fall. One thing, though, is that daylight saving time does go away Saturday night, Sunday morning, so you're going to set the clock back an hour. You get back the hour of sleep that you lost, and a lot of times we associate that with cooler weather, but none of that this year. Kevin Calluette joins us right now, Executive Director of St. Tammany Parish Mosquito Abatement. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. Happy Halloween.
Yes, sir. Same to you. Did I get your last name right or not?
Yeah, you got it.
Okay, good. All right. Let's talk about mosquito abatement in St. Tammany Parish. Somebody texted in, and we can start here, I guess. Did not see the standard routine of mosquito abatement in Tangipahoa Parish this summer. Hope things were better in St. Tammany. Did you guys do your standard mosquito abatement?
Oh, yes, yes. And I'd imagine Tangipahoa is doing the same thing. We're out there monitoring traps, mosquito traps, weekly throughout the year and testing those for arboviruses like West Nile virus. And, you know, we send the trucks and we send the planes out to treat when an area needs to be treated.
Tell me what's going on in St. Tammany Parish with mosquitoes. And I know mosquitoes are not mosquitoes. There are different types, right? And you would think that as dry as it's been, the mosquito population would be down. Is that a false presumption to make?
No, it's a good presumption. And you're right on the money. That every mosquito isn't the same. There's actually 3,700 species of mosquito across the world. And here in Louisiana, we have about 60 different species. And they all like to come out at different times. Most of them really do like those wet conditions. There's a few that are drought associated. But the story we have to tell today is really a perfect Halloween story, because mosquitoes are really the original vampires, right? Uh-huh. And that in connection with these aquatic fern that we have a problem with, Salvinia, giant Salvinia, it's kind of like the green blob. So this is kind of like a B-rated horror movie. We have mosquitoes that like to lay their eggs on these plants because they like to avoid predators that can't find them amongst the plants, essentially. So we've also been battling, this invasive plant, the giant Salvinia, in our area, too.
Man, I love that. Mosquitoes, the original vampires, and now you got this Salvinia that is like the green blob that spreads rapidly. And then I guess we can even go a little bit further, if you want, Kevin, and talk about the invasion of the body snatchers, where the mosquitoes lay these eggs and then they hatch to take the place of the mosquitoes, right?
Yes, exactly. And actually, I could take another step further. That green blob actually has a mortal enemy as well, and that's a little beetle called a weevil. And those weevils like to eat the Salvinia itself, and those weevils will actually cause that Salvinia to die. So that's a form of biological control that some researchers at LSU and we're trying to collaborate with them to try to combat the plant that produces this mosquito as well.
You know what amazed me as a kid in school learning about ecosystems is how delicate they are. And as you talk about this eats that, that eats that, that eats the other, that controls this, it is a very delicate balance. And once you start fooling around with all of that, you can have some unintended consequences, can you not?
Absolutely. And you know, that's the great line from Jurassic Park, right? Nature finds a way.
Mm-hmm.
but these mosquitoes, if you think about it, are just trying to find a way to hide from all those fish out there that like to eat their young immature mosquito larvae. Those are perfect little snacks for our mosquito fish. And if you lay your eggs in and around these plants, those fish can't find you. And a couple of the species we have actually have adapted a solution for that, which is that on their air siphon, so we're going to geek out for a second here, mosquitoes breathe the same atmospheric air that we breathe through an air siphon as mosquito larvae. When they're in the water, you'd think that they're breathing through gills like fish do, but they're actually breathing the same air we do. So a couple of these species has developed this saw-like tooth on its air siphon, and they can saw into some of these plants like water hyacinth.
Wait.
And they can actually,
the mosquito?
Yeah, the mosquito larvae itself.
Really?
It's the coolest thing. On their air siphon, there's this little saw, and they'll saw into the plant roots that are just hanging down in these floating plants, and they can actually breathe through the vasculature of the plant itself. And they do that because they look like roots, and that way the fish can't find them.
Man, let me tell you something. You, my friend, have a very interesting story. How did you become, I know you're a PhD, a medical entomologist? How did you become, because I think when you think of mosquito abatement, you think about a guy in khakis that tells the other guys, go ahead, fill a truck up and spray. But there's a lot of science behind this, is there not?
Yeah, and the ecology of mosquitoes is sort of the truth is stranger than fiction in this case. But no, it's a fascinating world that we're trying to understand. And the more science we put into it, the better and more selective we can be about how we're treating those mosquitoes. But yeah, my story is essentially I was at Tulane prior to Katrina at the Tulane Tropical School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine. And, you know, West Nile virus came through in 2002, swept across the country and said, you know, this is something that I'm interested in. I'm interested in ecology. I'm also interested in sort of chasing viruses and hunting down, you know, what's the viral culprit that's making people sick and public health. And decided to study that, you know, and do my dissertation work there. And then Katrina came through and kind of wrecked the whole system. And, you know, as everybody did in this region, you sort of roll with the punches and you find something new to study. But there's always something more interesting out there in mosquito ecology. And like I said, it helps us hone how we do what we do to help manage mosquitoes and to sort of reduce the risk of those mosquitoes transmitting diseases like West Nile.
Everybody has a story. Yours is interesting. We're going to take a break. We come back with Kevin Calluette, Executive Director of St. Tammany Parish Mosquito Abatement. And we're talking about Salvinia and the mosquitoes in St. Tammany laying eggs in this invasive species. Also, weevils that can eat that Salvinia. We'll talk about controlling that. As well as, Kevin, if you don't mind, I'd like to open the phone lines for anybody who has any questions about mosquitoes or mosquito abatement. Text in 504-260-1870. I bet you Kevin can answer your questions. 720 Traffic Now, WWL.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
.7:25, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our newest, bestest friend, Kevin Calluette, Executive Director of St. Tammany Parish Mosquito Abatement. Kevin, you're a smart guy, a man of science. I posed this question to listeners earlier because I saw a story. This got nothing to do with mosquitoes at all, but they talk about stigmatized houses and houses that maybe are supposed to be haunted or were the scene of a murder or possibly the former residents of a serial killer or something like that. If you found a house that was in a perfect location, perfect size, and you could get it at a steal, if they had that kind of history, would you buy it or not?
Whew, that's a good question. I think
because you're
think
a scientist, that's why I'm asking.
I know, but I think my wife would tell you that I'm cheap enough that I would give it a serious consideration, but I'm not sure that I fully buy into the whole ghost thing, but I don't know.
Let me tell you this, Kevin. Make sure the wife is on board, because if you don't want just whatever she says, do. It's a lot cheaper, believe me. All right, let's go
I know.
Yeah, some of the questions here. We have one neighbor on our block who's convinced that the mosquito spray is deadly and called to request that our block not be sprayed by the mosquito trucks, even though every other neighborhood in our block is called mosquito control and says spraying should continue. I don't know what parish this is, but address that, if you would, please, about the mosquito trucks, because I used to jog a lot, and I'd get caught occasionally with mosquito trucks, and I'm thinking, well, if I'm this close to it and it's that concentrated, then maybe it's not good, but maybe it doesn't take a lot to kill mosquitoes. Explain that whole process of spraying with the mosquito truck, please.
Absolutely. So every product we use to kill adult mosquitoes, or any product, adults or larval mosquitoes, has to be registered and labeled by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, and it goes through a rigorous risk assessment process. The last thing anybody wants to do is to use an insecticide that we're using to kill mosquitoes to actually harm people, right? Mm-hmm. So that risk assessment process by the EPA looks at all the available literature in terms of all the toxicity studies and whatnot, and determines a minimum dose, or actually a maximum dose, that can be used on an annual basis. But it's using in those models, it's assuming a person, a child actually, is standing outside without any coverage at all and breathing the stuff in during those applications. And then they also use a tenfold safety factor on top of that to lower that dose, essentially. So they go through a rigorous risk assessment process by the EPA, and that's what we trust. So we're only using those products, and we're only using it according to the label specifically so that we're not causing adverse impacts to other people. Now, in St. Tammany Parish, if someone were to call in and say, we don't want to be sprayed in front of our house, that's fine, but they need to realize that their neighbors do have a right to receive that treatment. And so we make sure we go door to door. And, you know, if they can get enough signatures around them to carve out an area, if all these people say they don't want to be sprayed, then we won't treat that area in that way. Yeah.
Let me ask you about this El Nino, I think we're in right now, the dry conditions. Just looking ahead, what is the mosquito season? What can we look for leading up if it stays like this? Is it going to be worse than normal, better than normal, different type of mosquitoes? You got a minute, Kevin. Sum it all up.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, the drier conditions will tend to lead towards fewer mosquitoes, which is great. Right after Hurricane Francine, St. Tammany Parish received almost 10 inches of rain in some of the areas. And so we had a massive bloom of floodwater mosquitoes that actually lay their eggs in dry, or they lay their eggs in ground pools in the woodlands, basically. And those eggs can dry out. And once it floods up again, they'll hatch from those eggs, and within a week, they become adult mosquitoes. And so we had a massive bloom of adult mosquitoes after Francine. But since then, as you noted, we have seen 26 days without rain. So those dry down conditions, those mosquitoes are now gone. And we should be getting lower abundances of mosquitoes. Now, when the cold fronts start coming through, that'll lower them even further. But what we're seeing is longer seasons in general that'll go into mid-November. And they'll also start a little bit earlier into February when things are warmer as well. So our system is really in place to monitor all the time. We send our biologists out to the woods. They actually stand there for a minute, and they will count the number of mosquitoes that are coming to land on them. Those folks are also setting traps. And those are all of that information's come in and help us make decisions on how and when to treat for those areas for mosquitoes. Our system is set up for that, right?
Yep. Very informative. Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate your time and your insight. I really do. Kevin Calouette, Executive Director of St. Tammany Parish Mosquito Abatement. We'll come back, talk to Jeff Palermo about LSU and Brian Kelly and what they're doing in the off week before they play Bama. Right now, time for WWL First News. 7:44, 16 till 8. Tommy Tucker, WWL, Halloween. 2024. Jeff Palermo joins us, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. How you doing, Jeff?
Well, Tommy, how about yourself?
I'm well. It's Halloween, so we're having a little bit of fun. Two questions for you that I've posed to the audience. First of all, you find a house that's just perfect. Perfect size, more than you thought you could ever afford. Beautiful area, giant piece of land, got your own pond or lake or whatever, boathouse. But then you find out it's been stigmatized that either there's a history of it being haunted or there's been like a mass murder there or a serial killer lived there or something. Are you buying a house or not?
I don't do ghosts. I don't want to be haunted.
You don't do them as you don't believe them, or you don't want anything to do with them?
I don't want anything to do with them. I have So if I'll just go find something else that might be.
So you would say no. You want no part of that.
I want no part of it if I hear from previous homeowners that the place could be haunted.
All right. Question two along those lines. Have you ever had anything happen in your home that was just kind of unexplainable? I mentioned a ceramic figurine. I don't know if you're listening or not, but this thing hadn't moved, touched anything. I guess it was dusted. I don't know. But made a noise in 10 years, and all of a sudden one night we're going to bed, and like in the middle of the night, this thing starts playing music. So I get up with the gun and a flashlight, clear the house, because I don't know what the hell's going on. And then apparently it just started playing music. And that was around the time that Poltergeist came out. So that went outside, and it never came back in the house again. Have you had any kind of unexplained thing like that happen to you ever?
No, I haven't. Not my house. You know, I grew up right next to a cemetery. So I saw certainly some, some strange things.
Like what?
I don't know. Just like candles being lit in the, like, you know that the this was obviously back in the 80s or whatever, before, where you would look out the window at one moment and you would, because literally from my mother's room, you can look into the, my parents' room, you can look out into the cemetery. So sometimes I'd walk in there and look out the window or whatever, and you wouldn't see anything lit up. But then later in the night, there would be like a candle that all of a sudden was lit. Just little bizarre things like that.
But that would have been something that somebody visiting the cemetery.
Well, I don't know. It was like after the cemetery had been closed. There's no reason why somebody would have lit that candle at that. Like I'm saying, like if you looked at it at 5:30 and there was nothing lit, and then you looked at it an hour later and all of a sudden there was something lit. Very weird.
Huh.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about not doing ghosts. I don't do funeral homes, and funeral directors will tell you it's not the dead people that scare them. It's the live people that scare them, but I don't anything to do with any of that at all. Nothing. You know, and funeral directors, I don't know how we got on this, but it's Halloween. You know, a lot of these funeral directors, they live in the funeral homes. That's part of the deal. And then they go do whatever they got to do. And not me. Uh-uh.
It's also a recession-proof job.
It is. It is.
Constant and work.
If you, you know, if I you're guess into if you it. Want to, yeah, if you can do that. But no, not me. Absolutely not. Let's talk about Brian Kelly and Alabama and LSU, and how are they spending this off week?
Well, spending this week working on some fundamentals, working on some technique, trying to improve some of the things in particular that led to Saturday's disappointing loss to Texas A&M, working on field goals. I mean, he had three field goals that you were not able to connect in that game against Texas A&M, including one where the snap hit off the holder Peyton Todd's helmet because he wasn't even looking for the snap. So they're trying to get that part down. It's the second time this year they've had a botched snap. So that's something that it's, you know, here we are in late October, something you probably shouldn't still be working on, but yet they are working on that. Obviously some time to rest up a little bit. You know, Garrett Dellinger, starting offensive guard, has a high ankle sprain, still to be determined whether he'll play in the Alabama game. And then, of course, these kids are students, so working on the academics part as well.
So speaking of things that, you know, are unworldly, as a coach, considering the time that you spend scouting, preparing, practicing, if I had been the coach of LSU and I see it, the guy turns his head while the snap for a critical field goal hits him in the chest and goes bouncing off, they would have to sedate me. I would. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, we did hear Brian Kelly use some choice words on a hot mic towards Peyton Todd after that play. So he was not happy about it.
You go through, and it goes back to protecting the football, all the hopes and dreams, and you go through all of the recruiting and preparation and transfer portal and everything else, and you're in this big, giant game, and really, this is what we do.
Yes.
You got an interesting piece at WWL.com, and y'all can go to download the Odyssey app or just go to WWL.com and read it. Jeff Palermo contributes a lot of stuff there about LSU and other things as well, but about preparation for the backup Texas A&M quarterback. I find that interesting. What's going on there?
Well, you know, there's just it was just so amazing to watch Marcel Reed come in there and instantly change the game. First play, he scores a touchdown after the Garrett Nussmeier interception. And this is the thing. Texas A&M, Connor Wigman started as the starting quarterback for Texas A&M. And this is a kid that had only played in four games last year because of a foot injury. He was the nation's number one pocket passer coming out of high school. He is supposed to be the guy for Texas A&M, but you really haven't seen it from him. You know, even in that blowout win against Missouri they had a few weeks ago, I mean, he had a couple big plays, but it was really a whole team effort that led to that huge win over Missouri. So Wigman starts the season as the starting quarterback. He injures his shoulder, re-aggravates it the next week against McNeese, sits the next three games. Marcel Reed, the redshirt freshman quarterback, comes in and leads the Aggies to three victories over Florida, Bowling Green, and Arkansas, and looked fairly good. Wigman gets healthy. They put him back in for that Missouri game. Aggies blow out Missouri, and then he leads them to a victory in Starkville over Mississippi State, but throws two interceptions in that game. So I think as you're breaking down and you're scouting Texas A&M as a coaching staff, you have to sit there and say, hey, Connor Wigman's been good, but he hasn't been great. And they got this other guy, too, that they've used who has started three games. This isn't someone that just comes out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. If you remember, if you go all the way back in your brains to 2001 when Rohan Davey got hurt in the SEC championship game, that he gets hurt and Nick Saban brings in Matt Mock. Nobody had ever heard of Matt Mock, especially Tennessee that day, and they weren't ready for his ability to run the football, and it led to LSU upsetting Tennessee in the SEC championship game. LSU should have been aware that Marcel Reed could be a possibility if he comes into this game, especially if Wigman struggles. It even should have been a discussion at halftime. Mm-hmm. I was thinking at halftime that Mike Elko was going to make a move here because it wasn't working with Wigman. And then he comes in there, and it looks like LSU has never defended the zone read or the read option, and even though they had faced it the week before. So Brian Kelly, what he is saying, hey, it's not because we were not prepared for Marcel Reed, even though linebacker Greg Penn said they didn't think he'd come into the football game. He said it was lack of execution. I think it's a little bit of both. I think LSU had really never even considered Reed could come in the game, which I think is an indictment against the coaching staff. This should have been an option or something that they should have been discussing, something they should have been going over.
A very real possibility.
A very real possibility. And execution certainly was part of it. And as I told you on Monday, Tommy, something that we never really take into a factor is momentum. Mm-hmm. Texas A&M clearly grabbed the momentum, and it was a wave of momentum. And I don't know. Who knows what might have happened after that first interception. Let's say Texas A&M keeps Wigman in there after that first interception by Nussmeier. I think that's what turned the game, really.
Let me sneak in a quick break here, Jeff, because we're running a little bit late. But, you know, LSU in terms of being a real consideration, you always look at it as like a victim of your own success, right? Where, okay, so if you stop Wegman, you got to get ready because that means Reed's coming in. So
yeah,
you would think
exactly.
7:53, 7 till 8 traffic now, WWL. All right, a minute left with Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, talking about LSU. Jeff, you know, that was last week with the quarterback. Jalen Milroe this week with Alabama. Well, not this weekend, but the following week. How does LSU get ready for him?
Well, they better get ready for him. I mean, he torched LSU last year. I mean, he put up some big numbers against the Tigers in that win in Tuscaloosa. I mean, He rushed for 155 yards and four touchdowns in that game. So if LSU wasn't prepared for a running quarterback last week, they better be ready for one come November 9th when they take on the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate your time as always. We'll talk to you next week as we get ready for Alabama. We come back, we could talk to Richard Nelson, Louisiana Revenue Secretary, about the special session and tax reform. Complicated stuff. We'll try to sort it out when we come back on WWL.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app